All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the Orange Juice Podcast. We are super hyped to bring you another fun and exciting podcast with, I've got Mallory here, who is our producer, but she is filling in this week because Owen, who was one of our main stars, had a little baby boy, and we decided to give him the day off. So we've got a new Holden Taylor in the family of Orange insoles. Mallory, you've met little Holden. What do you think?
I love our new intern. He's so cute. Second intern now, so I'm now an aunt for the second time. But yeah, I'm excited, and I'm excited to be filling in today.
Awesome. So Mallory filled in on our second podcast and gave us some input, and we were setting goals for the year. So I'm kind of curious, Mallory, how is your fitness stepping goal? I think you were trying to get to 8,000 average a day in your steps. How's that going?
9,000 this year.
Okay.
It was going really well at the beginning of the month. I actually think I might be like at 8,700 for the month right now. We're at the end of January when we're recording this, which I will say isn't bad because, again, last year I was at like 5,000 in January. So I know people are like, oh, you're not hitting your 9,000. Well, think about it this way, guys. If I hit 10,000 plus in the summer months, it all evens out for the year. And a big reason I haven't been getting steps in as much is when it's like 0 degrees in Chicago, it's not really fun to go walk. But I will say I've been trying, like if I can at all, I get in a walk, even if it's short. So I'm not getting like no steps for the day. Like trying to hit 5,000 is better than nothing. And when I've been at the gym, I usually hate treadmills, things like that. But I will like walk a fast mile or two on the treadmill if I know it's cold out. Like I just, you know, it's okay to get moving, listen to your podcast, finish my audiobook kind of thing. So yeah, it's going better than last year and I'm hoping it evens out.
Perfect. Well, the topic today we have is around all things flexibility, mobility. And I kind of think about you because one of it is like just walking, like, do we need to stretch before we walk or what will that do for us? Will that, you know, have a better performance, endurance, all of that. So Mallory and I are going to talk today. I actually found some fun myths, Mallory, that I wanted to run by you to see what your thoughts are on these myths. And then from there, I'm going to pass it to Mallory and then she's going to walk us through some flexibility and mobility, the different types that we can work through. So one thing that's interesting with this podcast is I'm 55. Okay, for one more week, but I can keep saying it today, 55. And a grandmother of two. And then Mallory is just turned.
I'm 25 in 2 days.
And 2 days, 2 days ago was her birthday. And as you know, Mallory's my daughter and I love her to death. So yeah, so we are kind of getting into the fitness world and Mallory really pushes me in this category. So we thought it would be a fun category for her and I to tee up to the group. But one thing is when I started looking into this, I did go and look at myths because that's kind of how I felt until Mallory, who's also an instructor at DePaul in the athletic department, started correcting my myths in my mind. And it actually made me feel better. So one of the myths, Mallory, that I found is you must stretch before exercising. And as you know, we own a running store. And in our running store, we have a training group, a whole training program. And I would always get in there thinking I'm all tough and I'd start stretching and holding all these poses, only to learn that you really shouldn't be stretching and holding a pose. You should actually just get your body in motion. And I'd always see people doing these crazy leg things, like bringing their knees up and around, like kind of stretching out their hips. So I didn't realize that that stretching pose would actually work against me and my endurance as I get going. So what's your thought on that, Mal?
So I'm very familiar with this as someone who did sports growing up. It's really funny because when you're in like elementary school, middle school sports, like they have you do the like, all right, touch your toes and like that kind of stretch to warm up. And then as your coaches get more serious and know a little bit more about athletics, because it's not just your friend's dad, that's when you switch to, if we're going to get to different types of stretching really quick. I wasn't even going to bring this one up, but here we are. So it's difference of static stretching versus dynamic stretching. And dynamic is the motion, moving, warming up with your stretch instead of holding it like you were explaining. So yeah, I'm very familiar with it. It helps really just get your body warmed up and your muscles warm. One of my favorite analogies for your muscles is it's like a string cheese. Your muscle is cold and you are trying to stretch it, that string cheese is going to snap and break and tear. If you warm it up a bit, it starts to bend and like can mold and, you know, start to stretch way more. We love a cheese pull on a mozzarella stick. That's what we're going for with our muscles. So yeah, that is a really good point. So I think the myth is not necessarily stretching before exercises, but choosing the right kind of stretch. However, I don't like necessarily stretch before every exercise I do, like walking. but I do warm up for more intense exercise.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the fried cheese stick or a bread cheese stick or okay, so now I'm hungry. So, but what the opposite side of the myth is the longer you hold the stretch, the better. So once we're warmed up and we're super flexible and we're doing that stretch, the myth is that the longer you hold it, the better it's going to be. Cause why not? I'm all flexible. I'm a, you know, melted cheese at this point, but the, that's the myth, but really typically you shouldn't go more than 15 to 30 seconds in holding a certain pose. Is that what you know as well, Mallory?
It's funny because this is one of the things I've heard so many conflicting things. Okay. I have a yoga teacher who says, oh, you want to get more flexible at that? Double the time you hold it. I have other people who have said, like there's one guy I watch on YouTube who is very into flexibility and he is into the science of it. And like a lot of the science says 30 second intervals a week will help you. And then I had a doctor growing up that said, unless you go over 30 seconds, your muscle won't release and it's pointless. So like, it's so weird because that is one I've heard conflicting things on, but I would say 30 seconds is good. And I personally hold my stretches for 35 seconds because of the doctor.
Do you?
Yeah, because she was like, you need to hold it. It's like at least 30. So my brain is like, 35 is perfect. But well, it's more of an overuse thing though, for sure. Like you shouldn't if you're holding something for 5 minutes and it's not comfortable and whatever, that's probably going to injure you more than help you.
Well, one thing I'll say, Mallory and I are a little competitive because we both can do the splits and I can do them right and I can do them left. I can't do them through the middle. And she can do them right and left and is working on the middle. And we constantly do that. And let me be clear. That's one you don't want to hold more than 30 seconds. I'm like, see, I did the splits, pop it down, pop it like it's hot. I'm back up. But in reality, I do try to hold it longer. And sometimes because it is a position that it's tough to get to. And when you're there, you really got to kind of help, but I don't do it more than 30 seconds. If you really count out 30 seconds, that's a long time. So I'm kind of on the side of the camp of you shouldn't go more than 30 seconds, you know, move to something else, but do it more consistently, but just don't go over 30 seconds. Like try it 3 or 4 times a week, not every day, but like if you do it, and I think Mallory will agree, her and I both stretch at least 3 times a week. And it could just be as easy as pushing your furniture aside, grab a mat, or just get on the floor while you're watching TV and do some simple stretches, which Mallory will talk about later in the podcast.
And my last thing for this, which is actually something new I've been doing instead of, and it's, I have a new flexibility coach. We may talk about that later. What she does instead of counting a lot of the time is 10 breaths. And why this is good is A, makes you breathe. Think about your breathing, which is important. And exhaling is one of the best things when you're stretching because it helps relax your muscle and extend it. You're at your best when you're exhaling. If you think about any workout, that's why we do like so much breath to movement. Your exhale is very important. So if you're maybe someone who's like, I don't want to count or you're someone who goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe counting your breaths is better because you have to, those are going to be naturally paced anyway.
Got
and
it.
Don't hyperventilate. Don't change that to breath. We don't want that either.
Well, one thing, and maybe you'll talk about it later, is I also heard the breathing brings oxygen back into your muscles. So for me, I always would laugh at people who breathe out so out loud in class. I'm like, seriously, you are weird. Zip it. But now as I'm getting older, and we can do whatever we want as we get older, we just don't care anymore. I actually find myself doing deep and very distinct breathing when I'm doing a hard Pilates class or pure bar class or something for strength training. So, okay. So moving to the next myth, stretching is only for athletes or dancers, which is kind of how I felt in the beginning, but I was an athlete, so I was stretching, but this is definitely something I've talked to with my family, meaning my older family, like my mother and her generation, who there were athletic programs available for women in her day. So this was definitely a myth that was obvious. Stretching's only for athletes, which is were for the men or dancers. So I do, you know, that's the myth. Reality is, you know, obviously stretching can benefit everybody. It improves mobility, posture, overall comfort, especially if you're someone who works on your feet all day, you know, with construction, a nurse, a doctor, a firefighter, or, you know, just a police officer, like any of those all day positions in the restaurant industry. This whole stretching thing can help. And I think this is one of the key things of this podcast. And when we get to the second half, Mallory will walk you through how, you know, what the flexibility, mobility, different types are and things to do. But, Mal, you've always been an athlete. Have you heard that? Or is that more my generation myth, is stretching's for athletes?
I think as far as it's just for athletes, isn't heard as much in my generation, but as far as people making time for it outside of those groups, I definitely think it's less. Like, if you're not really into fitness, you're probably not thinking about stretching. But I will get more into all of this later. All I will say for now is I do agree with you on stretching is for everyone. And even if you're not someone who is super active, they're having some kind of stretching routine can be really beneficial for you, not just now, but like long term. And that's what's really important. So yeah, that's what I'll say for now.
Yeah. And the other thing is stretching is the same thing as warming up. So if I decide stretching gets your body ready for exercise, you just need to stretch. And I think we were just talking about it a few minutes ago about we're back to the mozzarella stick. When is the last time you've had a mozzarella stick? Like,
really, realistically, a week ago exactly. At the bowling alley. Before that, a long time, but ironically, a week ago.
Well, for me, I have to have like really good marinara sauce to dip that in. Like, I'm a marinara girl. For me, it's probably been years, but I'm going to have a fried cheese stick tonight. I got to find it somewhere when I'm watching a sports game. But stretching as we all know, it's not the proper warm up, right? We need to get your body more involved with light aerobic type activity that'll increase your heart rate before you get going and just start running or start into your class or any of that type of thing. What's your thought, Mal?
Yeah, I went on a whole rant about this earlier. I didn't realize that would become another myth. But yeah, warm up is definitely important. And we may, like, that doesn't mean there's not benefits to stretching as part of your exercise routine. A really great way to incorporate it is at the end in a cool down instead. So yeah, I agree with all that.
So the other part that's interesting, just finishing up the stretch myth topic before we pass it to Mal, is stretching decreases your strength, and what they think is stretching weakens your muscles, which is interesting. So while static stretching immediately before strength training may slightly reduce your power, I think that's where that myth comes in. Incorporating stretching as part of your routine will long-term help improve flexibility and muscle function. So I think that's the thing we have to remember, is a lot of these things we're doing short-term, really, if we get it in our routine to stretch, long-term is going to be so good for your muscles. So on that note, I'm going to pass it to you, Mallory, to talk about different types of flexibility and mobility.
Okay, so as far as different kinds of flexibility, what I really want to focus on here is the differences between like flexibility training, active flexibility, and mobility. And they're very similar, but they can have different benefits, be used at different times, and have, different ways of doing them. So first is just flexibility. So that's like flexibility is us trying to lengthen our muscle, but the difference between this and active is we're doing this passively. So this is what we traditionally think of as stretching. Like we're touching our toes, we're in our kind of like butterfly stretch. Or if you use like a strap on something, I'm not sure if you have ever used those, but like to pull your leg, that's also like more passive flexibility training. Do you have any of that in your routine?
Me? All right. Yep. Yes, all the time. And most of it. So I just started into Pilates because I was trying to encourage my husband, Tom, to do something that we could do together. So we do a lot of Pilates. And in that, they have these straps that hook to your feet. And at the end, you're like posing and pulling back, resisting against your feet. So it's basically like if I was standing up, reaching to the ceiling, going straight down with my hands, same kind of thing. It's kind of pulling. So, yeah, we do a lot of that type of thing at the end of our workout. That makes sense.
Is that like Happy Baby with the strap? So it's more of an assisted stretch.
Yes. Yep. Happy baby. And then in my Pure Barre class, we kind of do it through the class. So when we get done with beating up our thighs, or they call your butt the ledge, we get done those sections, we stop and we stretch it at the end real quick. And then we move to arms, and then we stretch our arms, and then which I think is interesting because some classes wait to the end to stretch. And then when I do my Pure Barre class, we stretch after each segment, we stretch that particular muscle. And maybe you'll speak to that in a second. But one thing you reminded me of, so Mallory's great grandmother, which my grandmother, I had a grandmother lived to 109 and one that lived to 100. So Mallory knows I'm living forever, is basically what she thinks. So my 109 grandmother, we used to bring her in for show and tell to Mallory's school classroom because people couldn't believe she was 100. Like it was the oldest person they've ever met, these little kids. But one thing she would make everybody do right from the beginning, if you remember this, Mallory, she'd make everybody stand up, put their arms straight up in the air, and then bend down and touch their toes. And if anyone couldn't do it, she literally would scold them and say, "You need to stop playing video games, and you need to get out, and you need to get moving. You need to exercise." You remember that, Mallory?
Yeah, she's of the, and I think it's important if we're talking about aging, is the use it or lose it mentality. Like she knew if she stopped, especially when you're at like 100 plus, if you stop using your body, it will shut down on you. And your body's very adaptable, and it's adaptable to you stopping using it as well. So she stayed very, very active, and I know that was one of her core principles of living a long life. So. But just real quick about all of this too. So say you're like, I want to work on my flexibility, so I'm going to go to a yoga class. Not all yoga classes are going to be this like more chill, passive flexibility. So if you are looking for a yoga class, I believe it's yin yoga that's more relaxed stretching and that kind of thing. Second thing I want to talk about is active flexibility. I usually use the example of the difference is you doing the splits on the ground versus I dangle you in the air, now do the splits. You have to use your muscle at that point to hold your leg up. Like it's not just about your flexibility, it's about engaging all of your muscles to hold that pose. This is used definitely more in dance, gymnastics, aerial arts, those kinds of things where people are dangling in the air and need to have that really kind of strong foundation. However, if you're someone who wants to work on their flexibility, why not work on your active flexibility so you can strength train as well? It also helps with injury prevention. If think about if you're just doing the splits all the time and you're not actually strengthening the muscles around it, it's easy to create tears. I have hypermobility, So if I do not have strong shoulders and hips, they will just dislocate. So that's why active flexibility is super important to me. A few examples of like active flexibility drills that I love is like, if you're in a straddle, you can try putting your hands around each, like around your leg, and try to lift up your leg. Try it on both sides. Maybe you put both your hands down and try to lift both legs. So that's an example of active flexibility drills. You're squeezing your quad, you're trying to lift your leg from the ground. Another good one people do a lot is if you're ever in like your tabletop pose and your leg is kicked back and you're doing like pulses, like kind of kick, you know, I've heard them called like booty pushups or like booty pulses. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done anything now, like
that? Are you saying I get on all four like a dog?
Yes. Kick one leg. Your one leg is back straight and you're like kind of kicking up, pulsing, which activates your glute and your hamstrings.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another example, because that being able to like hold that leg up is a form of active flexibility.
Got it. Well, and then it's so much core, right? Because you really got to bring up your stomach. You can't let your back arch down. You got to keep your core strong. And so that's using different muscles as well that will help you down the road. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
And that's why I think active. So earlier I mentioned flexibility coach. I work with a Serbian contortion coach online. She Elastic Wolf, if anyone's interested, she has beginner programs. She helped me get my splits. She'll talk a lot about she'll be like, obliques, you have to use your obliques and engage here. And like, yeah, so there's a lot of muscle engagement to get more advanced flexibility poses. But again, like I'm saying, if you're working on your flexibility anyway, why not strengthen your muscles? And it tends to work muscles you're not hitting in weights. Like, when are you like strengthening your hip flexors a ton? Well, maybe there's stuff you can do, but like, I don't know. I've noticed in my training, I just hit weird muscles I've never felt before. So it can be really beneficial to do both.
And isn't it when the next day when you get up and you're like, you start to laugh or something, like someone cracks a joke and you're like, why do I hurt in that weird area or your inner thigh or like those, those are the days I know I did something like you're saying that went deeper. It wasn't on a machine doing the same muscles or area of the body. And then you're like, oh
yeah. I'm like way more sore after some of those classes than I ever am normally. I'm like, that is, so you're really working your muscle like a lot. Mm-hmm. Last thing I want to talk about is mobility. So it's kind of a mix of moving through that full range of motion and combining flexibility and the strength. We think most about mobility as far as like functional movements, like squats, lunges, like that's more when people are doing like their mobility training, which is really great. Because again, as we get older, those functions tend to go away. So we want to make sure we're using them, engaging them. So again, doing things like squats, lunging, reaching exercises, different things like that are really beneficial. The one I was recently with you and we were kind of messing around doing it because I had a yoga teacher bring this up once and it like, I was like, dang, that's a good point. It's a weird point, but a good point. We were working on our pistol squats, which is like a one leg squat. And we're talking about it. My yoga teacher brought up one. She's like, well, she teaches a lot of older people. Like I'm usually the youngest one in there. She's like, what if you break your leg one day or your arm and your leg and you have to get back up? And so she was like, you know, a pistol squat is a good range of motion. Even if you could use your hands to push you up and you have a broken leg to go get that phone. I was like, that's horrible to think about, but like, you're kind of right. Like, so mobility, I think, especially as we get older, is so important. And earlier brought up how you do Pilates now with my dad. And I'm really happy he's doing something like that. Like you already do a lot, but I'm happy he's doing something like that. Cause as you know, he ages, like that's going to be way more important to have mobility. So I'm glad he chose that instead of, you know, going and lifting or because he's working on his strength and mobility and things that matter more as a older person. And no. Do it now too. It's good for my age too, because then you don't even have to worry about it. It'll be part of your routine when you're that age.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say One thing as we get older, I mean, at 50, he had a heart attack. So he's trying to stay ahead of health, food, but then just keeping your body going to prevent anything else. One thing about my grandmother at 109, she did yoga every morning. She did stretches. And I remember visiting her one time and she was so sick. She had bronchitis or pneumonia and laying in bed. And I go, and she's doing this with her hands. I go, Grandma, do you need something? Are you signaling me? What is going on? She goes, no, I'm just doing my morning exercises. And then she always started with her fingers and then she moved down her body. And then next thing her arms are going up and down and then her legs start in. And she said, no matter what I feel, if I ever stop using it, I will lose it. So even when she didn't feel good, she would lay there in her bed and start doing exercises. But the one thing that was super neat is she always had a, so she had two homes, a winter home and a summer home. In the winter home, she had a stationary bike and would bike, 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 keeping your body and her hips flexibility, arms moving back and forth with the arm thing. And then in the summertime at her cottage, she had a bike on a boat. Like, I don't know how you explain it, but it's a bike. It's a, yeah, a bike that sits on a pontoon and she'd ride it all around the lake. And the lake isn't that big. Let's not get crazy here because I can kayak around the whole lake, but it's a no-wake lake, but there's pontoons on it and stuff like that. But she would go around it every day, sometimes twice a day with her little dog on the side. I bring all that up because she was such a great example. She always had Jesus in her life and always was not afraid to have a little Smirnoff and cranberry on occasion, which we all participated with that part as well. It was just keeping moving. And I think that's why I've always been moving and always taking a class or doing something. If I don't do something 2 or 3 times a week, I get a little nervous. But yeah, the mobility, flexibility that she had when she passed away, and she lived alone till 108. So 109, we finally got her into assisted living, but it kept her moving.
Yeah, and although she's been a great example, we have a lot of women in our family who have had many hip replacements and issues with falling. And that's like what I'm worried about as well. Like, I know it's in my DNA a bit, in my genetics. Like I had mentioned earlier, I already have hypermobility. Like, my hips are already not good and
Yeah.
my shoulders. So I'm already working overtime to make sure that they're really healthy and strong. So that's also just something to think about. Like I know I'm young, but I know I don't want a hip replacement, and I know it's crazy to be thinking about that. But if you're younger and listening to it, like, it's you, sometimes we should be thinking about these things and thinking about our future health. Like, what do you want to be doing when you're 60, 70, 80, 100? Like, do you want to be able to be out biking and active and doing things with your grandchildren or your family or friends? So that's where my perspective on it is now. And I'm very lucky that I'm young and have realized that, because I know most people don't realize that till they start to feel it. So just something to think about.
So, the other thing I'm going to do is tee up for everyone how I'm going to save you so much money in this moment. So, I want you to get your pens and papers out, or actually, it's going to be so quick. So, I was listening to Mal, and one thing about like work, you think about, well, this stretching class, this class. And when you go to studios, it can be so expensive. I mean, it just starts adding up. It really does. And I don't know how anybody in this younger generation, like you, Mallory, between groceries these days, and you don't have a car because you can't even afford a car, and food, and it's just ridiculous. So one of the things that we us older people are all like doing is getting rid of our cable and going to YouTube TV, which is super cheap. And I bring it up because on YouTube TV, you can get these like episodes of stretching in these classes that Mallory's referencing, and they're very economical, and you can do it right in your own home whenever you've got time. Click the button, and you don't need a lot of space to do this. So I don't know what your thoughts are, Mallory, but I highly recommend.
And those who are younger and realize you don't need to buy YouTube TV, and you can just go on YouTube, and there's a ton of videos. Like, I've mentioned a billion, people at this point that I watch, not specifically by name. The one I can think of off the top of my head, as far as if you want like good just stretching, if you're new to yoga, Yoga by Adrienne is really amazing. She's like one of the most popular like YouTube like yogis out there. So yeah, it's really accessible. I'll also say my like online class, I pay $30 a month, and I pay for a bigger package than like the minimum one even is, which I think is very reasonable. So there is resources online, donation-based classes. If you do need like that account of, I go to classes because I need accountability. Sometimes if I go into the studio and I'm like, I'm going to do yoga by myself, I do it for like 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, I'm good. But when I like am following a class, whether it's online or in person, I just have like, I don't have to think about it. I can just do it. So find what works for you. And again, that can be a free YouTube class in your, you know, living room. So.
Well, I was just going to say, Mallory just saved you more money. So you just go to YouTube and sign up. But I do like what, I respect what you're saying. I'm not a self-starter, so I can't do that. I can't just put it online and do it. I have to go in and be held accountable. But I have done what you're saying. And when I subscribe to a program and it's live on your computer, like a Zoom call, like we are doing right now, people see you and it's $30 a month, but there's accountability. I have to come on at this time because my instructor is going to see me, but it's definitely a better price than trying to pay an in-studio price at a minimum of $130 is the best price a month. For unlimited, but you know, yeah. That's a Michigan price. I'm sure it's higher in New York or higher in Chicago, where you know, wherever you are out there, or it could be better. But we're just trying to throw out ideas because we really believe in what we're sharing with you today. And we believe, you know, we're trying to figure out a way to get everybody involved and find solutions. So at the end of this podcast, we'll definitely send out a couple links, attach it in there, and please comment in if you found something on YouTube or somewhere that's economical that is pushing you along in this category that you'd be willing to share with the rest of us. That would be awesome.
Yes, we'd love to hear your recommendations in the comments. And we will be back next week with a new episode, hopefully with Owen back, no guarantees, new baby. But yeah, thank you for listening. You can find us on YouTube and Spotify, hopefully Apple Podcasts soon. I'm working on it, producer side, Mallory coming through. But yeah, we will see you next week.